presentations. What we're going to do now is you've gone through two parts of the process, two corners of the of that foundation that we've covered. Those cornerstones are that basic business idea that we talked about earlier, and you all presented, did an excellent job. Now we've got into the second cornerstone, being the marketing analysis, and the next two are going to be the marketing strategy and then the finances, which we'll be getting into tomorrow. Now, what we want to do now is just take a minute and answer any questions any of you might have about what we've talked about with marketing analysis and how that process goes. Because it's a little more difficult than the first one was. To really have it valid, good information, it takes research and work. You did a good job making your presentations and doing a good job of assembling information. And for your own business, you need to do a good job of analyzing your perimeters of what you're going to be working with. We're going to hear in a little bit after we've gone over a few basics again as a reminder and review. Then we're going to separate you back into groups again to have you work on your business idea. The first one we went over earlier this morning. Spend some time on that. Get input from your peers in your group. And work on your own. And then, now we're really getting into an important part. And that's you. And what you're going to be doing. What you want to work on, improve, or start. Or whatever your position is. And we'll go through both cornerstones on your business today. In our rooms, so you can have interaction with the members. Ask questions. Discuss. Give suggestions, give feedback. Some of you maybe have a question with your existing business. They're a good group of people to ask those questions. So we'll go through that process. Then we'll come back in and conclude me promising you that we'll be out of here before 4:30. So if anybody's concerned that we're going to run over, we're not going to run over like we did at lunch. We'll be through, so you leave here 4:30. And so this will start the process of your personal business plan now that you've on those first two points. So I'm going to go through the basics of a business plan, not in your book, just in point of PowerPoint. All of this is really covered in your business, in your workbook. This just presented in a little different way, just to organize the thought. I don't think we have a copy of this, so if you want to make notes, certainly feel free. So the business plan, and then I'm going to we'll go through a discussion on survey questions and different questions you can ask, and then we get suggestions on how to ask certain questions. Sometimes they're sensitive with a competitor, but if you've thought the process out in advance and planned for what you're going to say, they typically can work out very well, even though some will tell you they're not going to answer your question. That's okay if that happens. So we'll go through that process. Okay, so business plan. Let's go through just the basics. You've already, summary, that's the first thing you all did. That's the first part of the business plan. Services of the business. What's going to provide? The demographic study and how to provide that. What does a demographic study mean to you? Someone give us some input. Oh, sure. Thank you. Dude, I'm the only one seeing the PowerPoint. Thank you. Okay, summary, service of business, demographic study. What's demographics we're concerned about?
Economics of the community.
Economics. One. Okay, the mix of education, of other issues.
Cultures.
Finance, age. All of those have demographic implications, and it's good to know those with whatever market you're trying to serve. Okay, market research and analysis, and you've already done some of that with this past project where you did talk about the industry and the customer and the competitor and all of those. So that's part of the next part. The financial plan, which we're going to get into detail with tomorrow, and strategic plan. We'll also go over some issues in the strategic planning to have a good strategic plan, which is typically longer term. Too fast? Okay, sorry. I always forget which one it's going to switch to the next screen on. Usually there'll be a couple more. And my suggestion to you is we're going to have this time together with your groups to start working on your own business plan after this experience here today. And then tonight, I'd suggest you spend more time by yourself working through it and really thinking through different points that are important to you in the process. Okay. The financial plan, which includes the proposed financing. Is it going to be bootstrapped? Are you going to bring in investors? Are you going to bring in partners that bring money in as part of the partnership agreement? Angel investors, and tomorrow we'll go through more options on financing the business and just some of the resources available for that. A pro forma, that's a plan for the future, a plan for where you're going to take this business. It's going to start at a particular point in time, and then at the end of a particular point in time, which is could be a quarter, then it could be a year, then it could be 5 years. You put projections down on where you're planning to take this for this business to go during that particular period of time. And that can be done on sales, and also you'll have a pro forma finance statement that we'll also have, we'll go in tomorrow. Then with the pro forma, some of the breakdowns that you'll do are cash flow planning. Cash in a business is king. Is cash important to any of you business operators?
Especially in the season.
Wow. Well, and most businesses have a seasonal element somewhere. And so you have such a need to have a cash flow plan that you understand and that will meet the needs of your business. And without it, you're walking on very thin ice because nothing is worse than a business to run out of cash mid-high season, mid an important buying time, and you don't have the cash to buy the products that your customers want, and therefore you start losing sales. It's a bad cycle. So cash flow planning is very important. And most businesses have seasonal cash flow issues that they have to deal with. Okay, and it's good for anyone to know and have it in a business plan, knowing where your break-even is. There are a lot of business people that don't know what their break-even is. That means how much revenue do they have to bring in with their overhead condition where they've covered their costs and they're at break-even, and now if they can exceed that in a period of time, profits start coming into that business, but not until they've covered their costs to achieve break-even. A balance sheet, we're really not going to spend much time on it, but a balance sheet is critical. The banker wants to see your balance sheet. He wants to know what you're doing with your money. A balance sheet tells you what you've done and how well have you managed your resources to establish the foundation and the solvency of the company by having assets and resources to enable a business to withstand these conditions that happen to most all businesses. Very few can completely avoid economic changes that affect them. Fortunately, for those of you that are in one that does avoid those, good. It's a good business to be in because most don't. And a balance sheet helps everybody manage through that by planning for the, seeing what you did in the past to help you plan for the future. Okay, strategic plan, the short range, and the long range. In all the things we've just gone through, you need to have both. You need to have a short-range plan for all those issues, and you need to have a long-range plan. A long-range plan can be the difference of survival or closing a business, because a long-range plan enables you to work through market conditions and or sometimes uncontrollables that are no fault of yours, the business owner. Your business is just affected by the surroundings, and without a long-range plan that has contingencies to deal with it, a business can be forced into closure. Joe?
What's the difference between a strategic plan and just a regular
plan? Nothing. Yeah. That's just maybe a flowery word to say this is important. Okay? This is important that you have this plan. That's your strategy. That is how you're going to capitalize on opportunities. So all your strengths, you're prepared to capitalize on your strengths and benefit from them. And the weaknesses that you might be experiencing or the market might bring to you, by having a strategic plan, will help you work through those weaknesses, improve them, change them, and be the difference of staying in business and having to close. Opportunities, same thing, to capitalize. And then threats. And every business has some threats. There are none that are immune from threats. They could be from competitors. They could be from your customer, where the customer is suddenly not going to be able to use your product or service for a reason. And there, one day they're going to be your customer, and another day they're not. And that's a threat to you, because you can't live without your customers. So it's good to have a plan, short-term and long-term, strategic, to deal with those issues of what a SWOT analysis brings to all businesses at some time or another. Okay, so here's the cornerstones. We've worked through my business idea. We've worked through my market analysis. When we separate here and you go with your teams, we want you to specifically start working those on your worksheet, right on the pages. What pages are those on? Let's see. Page, 13? Is that my market analysis? No, that's the start of it. Yeah, 17 is where the actual work page is. And then 11 is my business idea, yes. And so you're going to be working on those two specific, and then all the support material you've already had to help you in the process, and your team members to answer questions, give suggestions, give input. Input is good. Input is it's an important part to get other people's ideas. So they're welcome. Be happy if a member of your team gives you a suggestion. Because whether you agree with it or not, it's good. It has a reason, or they wouldn't tell you. And it's something you need to think about. Okay, any questions about these first two cornerstones? Then tomorrow we're going to finish the second two of the four and the last, the marketing mix and business numbers and finance. And typically, I think my experience as a bank board, outside board member, it said Colorado National Bank, it was, but it was out in a region of Colorado National's banks out in the Aurora area. There's they had four banks, and I was on the board of that region. And they'd bring outside directors in to do usually two times. One, if the banks were going into some kind of a loan that they really weren't comfortable with, and the corporate people would say, you need to get some director input on this and see what your directors think, and they'd involve us. Or problem loans. And a problem loan, they get a lot of people involved when a loan's a problem loan to try to help sort it out what's going to be the solution. And typically, the problem loans all had issues with their finances, where they were mismanaging, they were not properly allocating their cash. All their cash was tied up in poor management of receivables. And there are some solutions there, because you can sell some of those to a point to raise cash. But yet another problem with their inventory-related business, then there are problems with management of inventory. And you can have a successful business in every way that is overbuying their sales and have more inventory than their business needs, and suddenly all their cash is sitting there in inventory that they're overstocked in, and they're struggling with day-to-day operations because their capital is sitting in excessive inventory and they're over-inventoried for their needs. So understanding business numbers and managing that on a regular, constant basis will help you avoid all of that. And we'll go through the musts of financial management in a business tomorrow for dealing with business numbers. And with that issue that becomes most small businesses' problems are numbers. Usually they're better at marketing, sales, and all of those things, and they don't pay attention to their numbers. So we're going to focus on that quite a bit tomorrow. Okay, so this is your lemonade stand, only you're selling snow cones today because you ran out of lemonade. Maybe you mismanaged your finances and couldn't buy from Lemon Solutions, and they cut you off. That could happen in a vendor relationship, and you don't want that to happen. So I want to go past that, market analysis. Pretty basic right here, out of the scriptures, if ye are prepared, ye shall not fear. That's what market analysis is about, being prepared. And then understanding who the right customers are. And now we're going to get to the sample survey questions. And do we? No, we don't have this printed either, do we? Sample survey questions. I don't think that had questions. That's kind of an analysis of how to analyze yourselves in the process, as I recall. Is that what it is?
There is some on here that says sample survey.
Okay, there are some sample questions on it, on the bottom of that page. Yes, okay. There are some. Well, let's go through. There'll be some here different and some similar to what's on the handout. Okay, these are survey questions, how you can go through a process. Have a good night at the temple, Larry. He has an assignment he has to go to. Thanks for coming. Okay, provide the customer with a description and a price for your product or service. You have to do that to ask any kind of questions. So you have to give them information before you can expect any kind of valid response. And then the natural question, is this something you would purchase? Why or why not? And you have to be careful with that. So you're better off to have disengaged people asking and answering so they're not familiar with each other, so they're not afraid of answering the question frankly because they don't want to hurt your feelings or someone's feelings. So when you're doing a quality sample survey, it's people that are not directly related in any way to get a better sampling of what you want to find out. What would you pay for this product or service and why? How often would you purchase this product or service? Certainly why? Did I go past that too fast for you? Yes?
Are you legally allowed to do that in a mall situation?
Depends on every mall. Most of them, no. But some of them, fine. Just have to find that out. Yeah. Yes?
You made a comment that you should be back on that one when you start asking people, you should be talking to people directly involved. Like, for instance, and I'll bring it back to the lemonade stand. If we would go to the sports parks where these people were going to market that, why wouldn't we ask those people if they'd do it?
It
would be better than going.
I'm at related parties more, where sometimes people tend to take the easy route and go to a friend and say, here, I want to ask you about your questions. I want to survey you. What do you think about my business idea? They'll tell you the best they can, but they're a lot less valid than those strangers down in the park that you're going up just inquiring as to what they want. Okay. Those are customers. Yeah, they're the best to talk to, rather than related parties.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Didn't somebody back here, all these numbers are kind of dwindling. You talk about places, or there's a resource in Denver where you can find out, you know, like a niche in the market. Is there a need for this? Or what is there a need for in this industry?
Well, there's certainly a lot of that. And that's available through Chamber of Commerce. That's available through different trade organizations. That's what he brought up, were trade organizations. You can go on ColoradoSBA.gov and go in there and find resources of those. And there are goods and services that are highly needed. And typically there's grant money, there's low-cost loans, there's all kinds of things available for those that aren't available to the rest of the products or services. And if you get into an underserved area, I know in some of our other seminars we've had people from they've come in from distance from a small community into a large community for the seminar, and they have lots of access to capital to help them start in-home nursing care, elderly home care, elderly living conditions, where the public needs these services and they're being underserved. And so there's lots of support to help people get those kind of businesses started. but typically are not in a metropolitan area like this the same. Doesn't mean there aren't resources and needs here and that will assist you, but it seems like there are more of them out in the smaller communities. But I'm sure with research you can find there are those right here in the city. They're being underserved, and there are government and or private organizations that are there to support people that will get into that and provide that service, typically service-oriented. Let's see, does someone else have a hand up? Yes.
Last night I caught just a little glimpse on Channel 9 that said that today there's going to be a presentation on how to find money for starting businesses or something.
So yes, on maybe 9 Cares or how they do that on their news program. I think I saw that, actually.
I saw just a little snippet last night, mm-hmm. and I thought maybe you can go online and see what was
on. You could. If you missed it.
Might be something to look at.
If you miss it tonight, which you probably will, you can go online and find out what it was about. And I think I saw that same announcement. They were going to have people there. And you know how they do that, where they'll bring in various professionals and have them available to answer questions? Seems like they did have something about how for startup businesses, how to help people find financing to start businesses. Okay, so question 5, what features would you like to see in addition to what was presented to you in your sample survey? How much would you pay for these additional features if they were added? Are there any drawbacks to those features or additional costs that you would be charging for those? What turned you off about every of the questions I've asked you about our product or service? And other questions. So it's pretty simple. It's just straightforward. The key is doing it. And more don't than do. And those that do are well served. And those that don't many times miss easy opportunities of course corrections that can save them